Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hi everyone, Max Rushton here alongside Charlie Baker.
Hello there.
Here's the podcast. Charlie, what's on it? I can't remember.
There's a lot on it. There's a lot on it today. It felt like a very long show, but I think it's because it was packed with stuff. We had Chris McCausland, who's a very funny, funny comedian. Rob Rouse, Ainsley Harriott, dropped in. Literally wasn't booked, dropped in. Trevor Nelson came by, talked about being your neighbour. Mm-hmm. And Andy Smart was in Ashbourne in Derbyshire doing some sort of pancake fight thing. What was it?
Football match.
Thousand aside. That was it, yeah.
So listen to all of that and you will be tired by the end of it.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Max. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to speaking to Andy Smart live from Ashbourne.
Right, why don't we do it right now?
Why don't we live for the moment? Because I think you need to know what this is and how big a thing it is in Ashbourne and get. You need to do a few more countryside pursuits.
Fine. What about hunting?
No, not maybe up to you. That's your choice.
Well, I don't want to.
Well, that's your choice, though.
Andy Smart, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, boys?
Yeah, tremendous, thanks. So this is the Shrovetide football game in Ashbourne, which on the piece of paper it says 1,000 aside.
Well, it's probably more than that because it's half a village versus half a village. So
next goal wins, is it?
Yeah. Well, no, it's the goals are 3 miles apart. The ball's thrown up at 2 o'clock.
Right.
They play. If a goal is scored before five, then they throw another ball up. If there is no score before five, it goes on till 10, and if no score by 10, then the police confiscate the ball. Oh.
Now, Andy, I play a very low level of amateur football on a Saturday, and if it's a 2 o'clock kickoff, it's a 1 o'clock meet, and by about 10 past 1, I'll be WhatsApping the squad going, you know, Hamish, where are you? Kyle, where are you? Is there a WhatsApp group for the 1,200 people in your side? You know, is Jeff on his way?
I'm sure there is. I mean, both teams would have been planning this since last year. Mm-hmm. And they probably already know who's going to score if they get the ball near the goal. Because to score a goal, you have to actually jump into the River Headmore and bang the ball 3 times against the millstone in the bank. And I just point out, it's like about freezing point at the moment.
Lovely. Is there any VAR in this at all?
No, they did try and bring it in a couple of years ago, and it was frowned upon. I mean, you need to understand this. There's about probably 150 people around the ball, and then probably about 6,000 around the outside of that. So,
and so who are you playing for?
I always play for the Downers. If you're born south of the River Henmore, then you play for Downers. Yeah. If you're born north of it, you play for the Uppards.
Oh, right. Where is Ashbourne again? Just working out where I play.
It's right in the middle of the Peak District.
All right, I'm definitely a Downer.
Just north of Derby,
And is there an advantageous way to go? I mean, is the Downers, you go downhill, or is it, you know, is the terrain pretty sort of
even? No. It's pretty even. I mean, it'll end up in the river at some point. Right. I know that. Okay. And it sometimes ends up in the Duck Pond, which is very, very cold. Yeah, and then it has to cross quite a few fields to get to the goals eventually. But it goes right to all the town is boarded up so that you can't break the windows because the hug gets quite intense.
Like a lot of these things, like I'm thinking the Ottery St. Mary barrel fire thing, the cheese rolling, all these things, you know. Is it a big drinking excuse, Andy?
Of course. What you do is you play for about, I don't know, 40 minutes, and then you go to the nearest pub, then you come out and you ask the policeman, where's the ball gone?
Oh, yeah.
And then you run to the new location, you play for another 40 minutes, and then you go to the nearest pub to that, and then, you know.
Are there managers?
No. But there are committees between, both teams have a committee that will have decided what the tactics are.
Okay. So is there one team that's sort of parking the bus, playing like a 993-5-2?
Well, we're us downers are always very very wary of the uppers getting in people from like League and Utoxeter to rugby clubs to help. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Getting some ringers in.
Absolute ringers.
Yeah.
Checking if every one of the opposition is registered. Is that what you're doing?
I can't believe I just said that just before kickoff.
Andy? How often does anyone score?
It's usually one goal a game, sometimes two, but last year the uppers won the Tuesday game and then the Wednesday game the downers won it. So it's over 2 days.
It's tar barrelling in Ottery St Mary. Have you ever seen that, Max?
No, yeah. What's that?
They put tar barrels on their back, they set them on fire, and they run up the
and
street.
And then they run down a hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seems like a thing I wouldn't choose to do. Andy, so it's kick-off's in 48 minutes. Carry on.
Okay, Mr. Lehman will be throwing the ball up at 2 o'clock, yeah.
Okay, good.
After we've sung God Save the Queen and Auld Lang Syne.
So we may come back to you for team news, and if not, we'll come back to you mid-game to find out how it's going.
All right, lovely, boy.
Thank you, Andy Smart, comedian, Farnborough fan, and taking part in that. We saved more than 1,000 aside Shrovetide football game in Ashbourne. Did you watch the Liverpool-West Ham?
I did, wasn't it good?
Wasn't
it good, Max? It was really exciting. I was pleased that West Ham made a fist of it. Because of Man City, they just didn't even try. They didn't even have a shot. They had a go at it last night.
I really felt for them, actually, because I thought Antonio had an absolutely brilliant... He just put such a shift. He never stopped working. They played well. They kept... When they had the ball, they looked after it for the short amount of time they had it, and they created some chances. Bowen had that chance at the end, didn't he? I had this idea. This is for all commentators, or summarisers. Do you remember Andy Gray used to say, "You don't save those."
Oh yeah,
and it was like one of his catchphrases. And I actually thought this after the first goal, the first mistake by Fabianski, that the summariser could steal. You save those.
Oh yeah, oh, yes.
What he should have, because he should have saved it.
Yeah, he should have saved. He should have. To be honest, Fabianski was pretty at fault
for all of them. The third one is tricky, you know. But still, you just think it was one of those games where you watch it. I think Nick Ames sent this tweet saying it's a game where you think Liverpool are not going to stay unbeaten. But at the same time, it's a game where you think Liverpool are going to win every game.
Yeah.
And, look, fair play. You just can't criticise a team that keeps digging it out.
I was with a Liverpool fan last week, and he was saying he wanted it when it finally came to be more exciting, to have that Aguero moment,
really?
Or to have that moment of great release and euphoria. And he said he's enjoying it, he's loving it, but he'd really... So maybe that last night when it was a little bit difficult, mm-hmm. and like that gave the crowd something to cling on to, because they were pretty quiet last night.
You could sense the nerves, couldn't you?
And
they only
need
4 wins for the title. You don't have to be nervous.
But I think now the thing is that they want to go unbeaten, don't they? That's that record now they want.
Here's a text. I'd love to know how long it takes to do the pre-match handshakes in the 1,000-side game. Do they have a fourth official running around with a board to find players due to be subbed? And here's an anonymous text saying, I used to work with Trevor Nelson's daughter. I told her about hearing the anecdote. She said she's sick of you both stealing a living off it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on the world's biggest sports radio station.
Yeah, award winning, Max.
It is award winning.
I mean, not today. Obviously, they're not the last 20 minutes from you. But...
what percentage of the network of the year are you taking?
We're
all part of it, right?
They have won the award since I've sort of joined and had a regular show. So
is it the Charlie?
I'm not claiming all of it.
The Charlie Baker bounce.
You know, it's
what it is.
Just how it works. I mean, next year relegation.
Will it be like Nigel Pearson? You come here 6 months doing well, and then it all falls off. Anyway, Max and Charlie in for Paul and Andy this week. Very pleased to say in the studio now, a comedian Chris McCausland joins us. Tickets have just gone on sale for your national tour, Speaky Blinder. How you doing, Chris? Thanks for coming in.
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I'm just rethinking. you know, as a stand-up. That's the first I've heard of that Deontay Wilder excuse. And I'm rethinking all those bad gigs I've had through my career and thinking maybe it was just the coat I wore on the way to the gig. I had too many things in the pockets, you know, and it was...
That lead hat you wear.
Absolutely, mate. It's exhausted me before the gig started.
You've got to think of these things, Chris. That's just how it works. Now, you must be in a good mood because you're a huge Liverpool fan.
Oh, it's incredible. I am absolutely unbearable to be around at the moment, as I'm sure most Reds are. But we've held back, you know. We haven't been too in people's faces about it. We've been quietly enjoying it, but scared to say anything because we've had a couple of close calls of recent years. But it's, you know, as the name of my show implies there, Speaky Blinder, I'm a stand-up comedian, but I'm blind, and I think the only way we can lose the season now is if they pick me in goal. So,
well, I will say, because you weren't always blind, were you, Chris?
No. I've always had it, so I was born with it, like it's a genetic thing, but it deteriorated, so... eyesight was pretty good when it's never been great. Like I was always rubbish at hide and seek, but it's it deteriorated very, very slowly.
From about how long ago?
I think last time we won the league.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say,
quite a while, you know.
You know, you've not missed much in the 30 years.
No, so, no. A couple of good days, and that's about it, isn't it?
But so, what's Klopp? What does Klopp? What's he done for the city as much as anything else? He seems to have brought the whole place together.
Well, half of it, let's not get carried away. He's infectious, isn't he? And it's not really just about the team doing well, because, you know, other teams have done well with very, Mourinho has never been known for his joyous personality, has he? The kind of the camaraderie of bringing people together. But Klopp, his personality, it's not just, it kind of brings the players and the fans together. Like we're all sharing in it together. And you hear stories, don't you, about him making all the players learn everybody's name, from the people who serve the food to the people who, you know, clean the buildings and things like that, and making everybody part of the success in the team. And he's got that big grin, hasn't he? It's just infectious.
I think every team are jealous.
Absolutely,
of Jürgen Klopp. I think every team would love to have him.
They would do,
as their manager. You say you haven't been too unbearable yet. Do you think, because there is this idea that Liverpool fans will for some reason be more unbearable than other fans when they... I mean, I find any team that wins the league, their fans are unbearable and I want to avoid them. Well, and it's never Cambridge United.
The thing about Scousers is the more excited we get, the higher pitched we get. And so there will be a point where you'll stop being able to hear us. You know?
But in a way...
We'll just be annoying the dogs, you know.
But in a way, because we all kind of know it's going to happen, it is slightly different. Like Charlie was saying, it's Adam Richards, you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Who sort of wants an Aguero moment. It's not going to be like that.
No, I don't want it. I don't want that. I want it as early as possible this time. Because we've, you know, as I said, we've had a couple of close calls, 13-14 and last year. And I just can't take it anymore. I was absolutely exhausted at the end of last season from really doing nothing except to listen to football, you know. Yeah. But I just felt mentally drained on the back of it. You know, such is the lack of anything else going on in my life that I get so involved in it. But you know, so this year to be, you know, to have it done early, I am absolutely more than happy with that. And also, I think most of us are.
Also, Liverpool's success has coincided with you being all over the telly, being live at the Apollo, 8 out of 10 catch. What else have you been on recently?
Would I lie to you? Have I got news for you? Yeah. And it's a purple patch, mate.
It is. You must be funny, Chris. I've never seen it myself, but you know.
No. It's in the quiet taste.
You are known as one of the best comics, definitely on the circuit. And now it's so great when you see someone like yourself, who's worked hard for absolutely years, you know, week in, week out, going to the clubs, going on the circuit, doing the horrible gigs and the nice gigs, to suddenly step out and step up, because we know you've got the chops, so we know that you will make a massive success of it. When did you find comedy, and how did you first step into it?
So 2003, and I was working in a call centre, and I kind of did it as you never do it as a career, do you? I'm going to be a comedian. I did it as just to see if I could write. Well, first of all, see if I could write 5 minutes that I thought was amusing, because I love stand-up. And then I thought, you know, maybe I should give it a go at an open mic gig. A lot of people, you know, only know comedy as the comedy they see on videos, DVDs, the telly, you know, your megastars, and don't realise that there's, you know, there's whole levels of comedy that are, you know, at certain levels down atrocious. You know?
But it's like football. There's non-league, there's national
absolutely
league.
You said that, Charlie, you know, that Chris has been working a lot of time at sort of that level and then gets... it goes up and it takes off. Are there loads of brilliant comedians? And there's, you know, how much of it is the best ones are the ones that we see on telly all the time? Or how much is it, you know, there's a sort of just hitting the right thing at the right time and luck?
It's all that.
You've opened a can of worms there, mate.
Obviously, I can imagine. I can imagine in dressing rooms, at stand up. You know, I don't know how like if everyone's a big family, they're like, I can't believe he or she's doing well because they aren't funny. You know, I don't know if there's that sort of
absolutely
backstabbing
that's
stuff.
That's it. That's what it is, mate. If you say to a comedian, I was doing a gig yesterday, and one of the acts did really well, and one of them, you know, died horrifically, you go, which one died? Yes, it's all you really care about is the
how badly did it go.
Whereas radio presenters, we're all just, you know, we bask in each other's success all the time. Do you consume at the ground the facilities for blind people at football? Have they improved massively over the years?
Well, because I work weekends, I don't go regularly. I go every so often to the football, and what they do in the grounds is they provide you with the, you know, like a little headset so you can hear the commentary. But you know, the crowd around you gets so loud when anything good happens that you can only hear the rubbish bits, you know. So so you're really there for the atmosphere, you know. You're there for the throw-ins and that's all you can hear the commentary for is the boring bits. But every time there's goal action, it gets really loud and you're there for the atmosphere, really.
So can you tell the difference between a throw-in and a corner and a good shot and a wide, they must have different sounds. The crowd must sound different.
Well, do you know, when I'm at home, I listen to the football on the radio. It saves me on the old telly subscription. Yeah. But I prefer it on the radio because they make everything sound exciting. Whereas on the telly, you know, you could have about three shots on goal and you know, 5 minutes of play. And all they've really said is like, you know, a few names and had a little chat between themselves.
Oh, yeah, they've got to describe everything, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas on the radio, they describe everything and they make everything sound exciting. So that's my that's the way I consume the football mainly. Is you know, the guys here and the other ones.
There aren't any other ones.
I don't think there are other ones. Right, tell us about the tour. It starts October the 8th, goes through to December the 5th. So you got a while to prep for it. Is it all ready now?
It is. Yeah. So this is actually going to be the second leg of the tour. So I've already done a run of them and obviously a little bit more telly. And we thought, well, let's go out and do some more dates in places we didn't do while I write the next show. Yeah. And so it starts in October. I'm going around a lot of places up north this time as well. I'm doing a gig in my home city of Liverpool, which is at the Epstein Theatre, which is 400 seats, which is I love gigging in Liverpool when I'm at clubs because I'm sharing the bill with, you know, other comedians in my home city. And when I do my own show in Liverpool, I'm terrified that just aunties and teachers will turn up, you know. So please,
that's
Liverpool, come out.
That's
the 10th of November.
10th of November, yeah. You'll be eighth in the league by then.
I've checked and it doesn't look like there's going to be any Champions League football that night. It's on a Tuesday. But it's a stand-up show and it's you know, it's a lot of nonsense and it's about becoming a dad and family stuff and... you know, I've only got one child, a daughter, and it was a 41-hour labour, and it was absolutely horrific, and it takes a bloke to be able to find the humour in it. So,
are you still doing the knife throwing act?
That's how I finish, mate. Yeah. it's the finale.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more.
That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max Rush and Charlie Baker in for Paul and Andy. Very pleased to say, comedian, an actor, Rob Rouse, joins us in the studio. How are you?
I'm very well. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, TalkSport listeners.
And that is the theme to... The Upstart Crow.
That's the theme music. Yep.
And you are starring in it at the Gielgud Theatre.
Yes, at the Gielgud Theatre. So I'll slip into a tawdry impression of Ian McKellen.
TalkSport listeners probably know who he is, but
they know who Ian McKellen
can
is.
Can you do Brian Clough?
Can I do? I've never tried to do Cloughy, but it
not
would
bad.
Be. It's kind of Yorkshire, Nottingham borders.
That's it,
isn't it?
Well, solid. So tell us about.
I can't do Cloughy either.
For those, but it's good to practice now.
Yeah, it's good.
Do you want to use, now? Practice.
It's always really good to try out any impression for the first time live on national radio.
Anyone else you want to try and do?
Who else we do?
Have you never done?
How's your Jim White? Everyone's got a Jim White.
It's Jim White.
Can you do Ainsley Harriet?
Can just I do Ainsley? No, he's here! Ainsley, how are you doing? Are you very sweaty. I cycled in, man.
Don't worry about it. Hawksby and Jacobs show is a cornucopia.
It really is.
Fun that anyone can walk in at any moment.
For absolutely no reason whatsoever. It's Ainsley Harriet. It's
nice. Thank you very much indeed.
Crashed my interview.
Exactly. I certainly have, mate.
Ainsley, I wouldn't have had it any other way. And I would have fully embraced you, but I've just cycled in. I'm very sweaty.
There's nothing like a bit of sweat, is there?
Well, what could you do? So if I brought sweat in, Ainsley, T-shirt, what could you make out of it?
I'd squeeze it into the old couscous and give it a good stir. That's what I'd do there.
Lovely. Now, Ainsley, me and Rob work at the Comedy Store. Yeah. There's a picture of you as you go in to the Comedy Store.
That's right.
As you go down the stairs, the original days, they have a lot of comics who started out there, and you are on the wall.
I certainly am.
Talk us through that.
And it's been there, years ago, it started... literally, I'm going probably back about 35 years ago. And what happened was that... We wanted to kind of get a little bit more money.
Yeah.
You know, I was training as a chef and, you know, on an apprenticeship's wage, it wasn't very much. And a friend of mine played the guitar and I used to go around to his house. We were school buddies and he used to play a little bit of kind of... He's Greek, actually.
Okay.
And I'd been Jamaican. We had a little song called, you know, we talked about Bob Marley, Nana Muscuri, you know, I like Moussaka, I like Mungo, all that type of stuff. You can imagine it was a real kind of a great mix of kind of...
It was a casserole, Ainsley.
It could have been a casserole. It could have been a casserole. I think it was more about a salsa, really.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, Argentina style, you know what I mean? Anyway... so where was I? So this is how it all came about was that we decided that, you know, we wanted to go around Europe and stuff like that, but we didn't have much money. So how we were going to get a bit of cash in, it was perfect.
Ainsley, can you do me a massive favour? Because we're here to interview Rob Rouse about the Upstart Crow at the Gielgud Theatre.
I am genuinely thrilled that Ainsley's here. Well,
could you interview Rob and ask him about the show, please?
Super.
Oh, wonderful.
Charlie, just sit back for a bit.
Yeah. Well, I know this is fantastic. And... this looks really, really interesting. So what is it like working with David Mitchell? We see him as a character that comes across quite strong, but I kind of feel that he's got a softer side to him. I think he's got that kind of likes to sit at home, have a cup of tea with you in the kitchen and...
You've absolutely nailed it. He's a very gentle soul. He's a delightful.
delightful man, and yeah, very sweet, very polite, very calm. I'm the only person who calls him Dave in the cast as well. Because I just go, all right, Dave, how you doing, Dave? I call him Dave.
And what does everybody else call him?
David.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I reserve
is
the right to call him
Dave. Is that because of
the
kind of university connection or something like that?
Well, you know, he's one of those people, isn't he? He's incredibly bright, but carries it very lightly.
Yeah.
So he could talk to anyone and will talk to anyone. Mm. But has a brain that should be studied at some point once, you know, when he leaves this model.
What was your studying like?
His book's very good, don't he? Carry on.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what was your studying like at school then? Were you quite a clever boy, you know, coming up to kids, parents at home, or maybe some of those people driving around listening to TalkSport at the moment thinking, oh, my kids are going through exams. Mm. Any tips of how to learn your lines or how to just to kind of absorb sort of information so you can then write it out?
That's a great question.
Yeah, it's a great question, isn't it? It's a huge question, and it's opened me right up because we're talking about the big stuff.
I can see that. Yeah.
I would say if someone could have tapped me on the shoulder when I was a kid and said, don't worry about it, it'll all be all right, you'll work it out, that would have been the best bit of advice I could have had. Because I struggled a bit with education. I was bright enough,
but
I had to really, really apply myself.
Academia, not your forte?
Wasn't.
What is your forte then?
My forte is winging it, I think.
Ah.
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Charlie? Yeah. He's known me for 15 years.
I don't want to crash this interview.
No, of course, you don't want to crash this interview.
I'm really enjoying it.
You're listening to Ainsley Harriott and Rob
Brown. It's a triple crash.
Max Rushton and Charlie Baker in for Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs on Talks. Ainsley, what are you doing here?
What am I doing? This is a massive surprise.
I was actually doing a photo shoot. I've got my new series starting on the 22nd of March. It's Ainsley's Mediterranean Kitchen.
Oh, nice.
And it was. It's just nice to be able, you know, you've got to do these things, these long leads. Up to the sort of press release and all that. So for most magazines, it's about 2 or 3 weeks.
The beauty of Mediterranean cuisine, it's so simple, right? You know, it's the 1 or 2 ingredients and they make, and it's the best food.
It should be. I think that sometimes it's, we talk about, you know, you casually say ingredients. Sometimes those ingredients can be quite pricey to get those real flavours and stuff like that. So I think the series kind of shows you how you can achieve things in a very simple way. But more importantly, we're interested in the culture of the people, whether that's in Corsica, that's Sardinia, or I went as far afield as Jordan because the influences of the Med down there are fantastic. And
that's when the sultanas start to come in, isn't it? And a bit of
he plays for Chelsea, doesn't he?
Bit of spice, doesn't it?
There we are.
That's Can I ask you, Ainsley? Seeing as
there we are, Rob.
Sorry, I will get back to our guests, Max and Charlie, who are sitting in for Hawksby Jacobs
with
here.
Rouse and Harriet.
Rouse and Harriet sitting in. Well, actually, who sits in for who? It's hard to tell. But Ainsley, I've always been fascinated by cookery. I love food myself. I really love cooking, and you're part and parcel of igniting that passion.
Oh, thank you very much.
The time when I was unemployed, I watched Shooting Stars and Ready Steady Cook.
Oh.
So
what a combination.
You and Vic and Bob, huge influences in my life. So
all big frying pans then.
Yeah, huge frying pans back in those days, wasn't it? But one thing's always amazed me, like Italian cookery is lauded the world over, isn't it? It's been great food. But it's essentially wheat, tomatoes and cheese, isn't it? How have they done that?
Well, I think that's what they do really. If you look across the world, it seems to be a bit like that. You look at South America and you think of the wheat and everything goes into the tortillas. It's the corn, basically. So I think we have that basic diet. Sometimes we overdo it, don't we?
Yeah.
I think we'll start talking about our health and stuff like that. People should look at that because I'm thinking sometimes we do eat too much meat. Sometimes we do eat too much dairy. Sometimes even the wheat, and it can slow you down. It's all about your metabolism. But how do they do it in Italy? I don't care because it tastes so fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It really is the freshness, the simplicity
isn't it?
Of it.
Very much like football.
We've got to go to a break. Rob, we're going to keep you here. Ainsley, we have to let you go.
I was going
to
say, Dan says this is a bloody good Ainsley Harriott impression, Rob.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max Rush and Charlie Baker in for Paul and Andy. Very pleased to say joining us in the studio now to talk about his new show, The Upstart Crow, at the Gielgud Theatre is Rob Rouse. Thanks for joining us,
Rob. It's great to be here, chaps. Sorry,
I just miss Ainsley.
Can you just put the show on hold? I'm about to be interviewed by Ken Hom, if that's all right.
Right, tell us about, for the people who don't know what Upstart Crow is, what is it?
Got Manor Jeffries out there as well.
It's Rusty Lee in.
They're all in. Incredible. Oh, good. All the TV cooks in, lined up to interview me, to ask me one soul-searching question.
Were you good at school? You didn't think today.
Really deep.
What's going to happen to me today? Ainsley Harris is going to ask me if I was good at school.
Is Keith Floyd to ask if you had a good relationship with your father?
Anyway, can you tell me? Focus, Rob. Can you tell me what the Upstart?
You're here to yeah, what is the Upstart play?
The Upstart Crow is a brand new a play on in the West End, written by Ben Elton, starring David Mitchell, Gemma Whelan, Mark Heap, Steve Spears, and I'm on for little bits and moving some furniture around. And it's based on the TV show that we did on the BBC, but Ben's written a brand new play for the London stage, and we've got some new cast members as well. And it's a really funny play, but in a Shakespearean style, but
you've
kind of modern day.
Absolute raves, haven't you? Rave reviews.
We've had raves in. We've been very lucky. We've had great reviews from on all the way from the Sun over to the Telegraph, via all of the other newspapers.
Gemma, she's an incredible actress, isn't
Gemma
she?
Gemma Whelan, fantastic. Brilliant. She's in Game of Thrones.
She's in Game of Thrones, isn't she?
Yeah, which is a game I play at home with my wife when it's about slipping into the loo and dropping an egg before your partner goes in the shower, and I call it Game of Thrones. But I think the series is very different. I've not seen it yet because I haven't got Sky TV.
I don't know if that happens in it or not. I'm not sure.
I assume that's what it's about.
What's your character, please?
My character's called Bottom, right. And he is Shakespeare's manservant.
Yep.
So he's a grotling. He's an Herbert. He's the bottom of the pile.
It's based when Shakespeare was writing all his plays.
That's right, yes.
So everyone in it is turns into a character in one of his plays.
That's right. So it's very clever how Ben Elton writes them. He weaves in real Shakespearean stories into it. So it's essentially Shakespeare before he was famous, if you want it in layman's terms. That's how I look at it.
But it's like a panto, isn't it? It's like not exactly like a panto, but it's sort of silly fun.
Yeah, there's a dancing bear, there's craziness, but it's chock full of jokes, and it's really, like all of Ben Elton's great scripts, it's really, really economical. A little bit of politics in there. There's gender fluidity.
Oh, yeah, they're in as well.
I think that's how you say it.
Which chef is interviewing you on that?
It's on that one, I think...
We've all run out of chefs, haven't we?
It's Brian Turner. I can keep them coming.
Can I ask you a generic question about...
Brian Turner will not let you veer off the subject either. It's quite bullish.
Brian Turner on gender fluidity.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about...
Just like men and women.
The difference...
Let it go, Brian. I know you come from Leeds in a different time, but just get with the times.
Can I ask you about the difference between doing stand-up and acting? Because they're totally different. You know, one, you're
they
in
are
total
very different.
Control. You can take it where you want to take it. You sort of know where you're going. And the other one, you are... It's someone else's focus, Charlie. So the lawyers will be after Charlie anyway after the last hour. It's fine. You have to, you know, you are following someone else's script. It's a very different skill.
Yes, it's different disciplines, isn't it? It's as a stand-up, you improvise, you muck around, and you add to stuff all the time, generally, don't you? Your material, that's how you tend to work it. But with,
we do the same stuff.
Bang out the same stuff. Here we go, it's Frank Sinatra singing Rude Words.
Exactly, if it works.
If it works,
Rob.
Hey, don't,
come on,
don't
now.
Try and fix it, because it's great. It's great, but he writes all the time, Charlie. He writes a lot more than he gives himself credit.
Yeah, you know.
But yeah, you have to, it's about being accurate, isn't it? And what's interesting is doing a comedy on the stage, it's not like they can cut the TV cameras. So you have to be sure that the audience knows where their attention's meant to be. You've got to sort of pass the comedic ball over.
I've done
very much like to bring it back to football.
Mm. Yeah, I've done West End shows, and the problem I have with it is I get bored doing the same thing.
Do you? Yeah,
every single night. Which with the joy of being a stand-up is
you can change it all the time.
Your set is similar. You can change it all the time. You're driving somewhere new. You're in a different building. You're reacting to different people. Do you get bored, Rob? You get bored yet? You're probably not online.
Well, why do you think I'm here?
Why did you pay Ainsley Harriet $10,000?
I know, just trying to keep it. Mark Webster's out there. I know him. I met him years ago. He's a nice fella. He'll come in to talk to me about when I lost my virginity. I believe. As long as he can cook, I'll answer the questions.
I'm sure John Tarode was down to do that, if I remember correctly. You're a football
fan?
Yeah,
don't tell John anything. Before you know it, Paul Hollywood will be texting me saying...
We've all remembered some more chefs now.
Yeah, exactly. It's not how I remembered it, Rob.
Who's your football team, Rob?
My football team, if pushed, would be Hathersage Heroes, which is the team that my 12-year-old lad plays for at the moment.
Okay.
And they had a sensational season last year. It was brilliant. They were getting thumped about 20, 22, 21 nil each game. And then the last game of the season, who hit the onion bag? They hit the onion bag in the last minutes of the last game against Bakewell.
Oh,
they were losing about 15-0.
Yeah.
And they scored right at the end. So it was a 15-1 defeat.
But that goal.
And when that goal went in, talk about losing it on the touchline. I mean, I was straight over the respect line, I don't mind telling you.
Straight over it.
You know that bit in Parenthood when his son finally catches the ball and he's kind of dancing down the line? It was beyond that. It was the greatest moment I've ever witnessed on a professional, semi-professional, completely amateur sports field. Mm. That's been at Anfield during some of the heyday of the 80s.
Yeah, beautiful.
The Grabal Arsoonis, Dalgleish team. Ian Rush up front.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't drinking his milk.
Beglin,
absolutely. Mulby. Oh, Jan Mulby, of course.
Beautiful.
Now, that was the first time I realised you could have a Scouse and
Danish accent
all at the same time.
The mashup.
It's one of my favourite things about Premiership football. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's kind of...
Premier League.
It's Premier League, isn't it now?
Yeah.
Premier League, Division 1.
That's it.
Well, listen, no, I love football. Don't get me wrong, I love football.
Yeah.
But I don't have a partisan side to teams.
So you can just enjoy the beauty of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Love the game. And really enjoyed the Women's World Cup as well this year.
But do you find that I find, even as a neutral, when a game begins, even if I don't have a dog in the fight, as soon as it begins, for some reason...
You shouldn't do dog fights.
I know, but I don't want to talk sport too. We've got the rights, so I have to promote it. But when you're watching a game that you are a neutral and you think... You start supporting a team. You can't help it. I find myself drawn to whoever it is.
Absolutely.
In each game.
I'm like that with all... I mean, I could watch any sport and not feel I've wasted a second of my life, whether it's tiddlywinks or right through to curly football, ski jumping. What an incredible sport. It's insane, isn't it?
How do you even practice?
What bit of you do you have missing?
Just gonna I'm going to be a ski jumper.
But you must have watched The Jump. You know when you watch The Jump and celebrities do that?
First,
and they do that and you think, God, that's rubbish. And it must be absolutely
terrifying. A mate of ours, Marcus Brigstock, did it and he bust his knee, didn't he? Yep. He was out for a year and a half.
Beth Tweddle broke her back on The Jump, didn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. They don't muck around. I mean, you can't fake it.
You have to sign a form, I believe.
Yeah, Nicky Clark spit his kipper, didn't he?
Split his kipper.
I think he split his kipper when he went off.
Hey, listen, Rob, it's been really fun.
It's been great being in here. I'm free now every day till about 5:30 when my call is at the theatre.
Oh, right, okay.
So I've got very little to do. Well. So, I mean, if you need a kind of a floating Ainsley kind of character,
perhaps you could just go wherever Ainsley is and just turn up wherever he is.
Follow him around, yeah.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Right, Rob Rouse is in the Upstart Crow with David Mitchell at the Gielgud Theatre. It's press night, 17th of February. Tickets are on sale now. How long's the run?
It runs till the end of April, the 25th, I think, Saturday.
Right, go and see it.
Thank you.
Any cameos from chefs in the show?
Well, I mean, it's only a matter of time, isn't it?
Yeah. When David can't do it anymore, they'll be getting Paul Hollywood in or someone.
Yeah, we need another chef. We mentioned him, didn't we? We just need one more to make this a really tight segment. Heston von Blumenthal.
There you go, we've done it.
We're out.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hi, good afternoon. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport.
Where are they?
It's always a shame, isn't it?
That is the voice of Trevor Nelson, my former neighbour.
Should mention that sometimes.
I should, I think it's on my Twitter bio. I forced you to move out of central London, Trevor, didn't I? That's basically the reason.
You did, actually. I was talking to the cabbie who drove me in there and I said, oh, God, I used to live around there. God, this is different where I live now. And he said, what was it? What was it that made you move? I said, well, you get out of your house and there's 100 people walking past you. You know, it's great and convenient. And I said, by the way, the guy used to live next door to me. I'm going to visit him now. I haven't seen him for a while. Mm. He says, who's that? I said, Max Rushton.
Oh.
Silence from the taxi.
Well, he swerved. Yeah. He nearly hit something, but he
can't. You say, bring back Lovejoy.
And no, we did. Oh,
oh, that cuts.
You don't want that either, do you, really? You don't, yeah. No one wants that.
I prefer bring back Jimbo, oh, really. Sorry. But if you can't go through all the big shoes I've had to fill. How is the countryside? Yeah, how is it? Brilliant.
Which bit of countryside do you live in? It's
M25 borders.
Doesn't count.
To me, it does, because you need a car to get a newspaper.
Okay, all right.
So, no. It's great.
And I've been round your new house. The microwave is built in. It's fitted, so it's hard to take.
Charlie, you know the funny thing is, considering we call ourselves mates, he hasn't been round my house.
No, I have. You don't remember?
Oh, yeah, golf! Oh, my God, yes! You have. How did you get in?
Listen, we still have to play the Microwave Masters. For those who don't know, 2011, yeah. Christmas Day.
We will.
Auntie Gay had a Christmas pudding. It needed microwaving. I'm a hipster. I didn't have a microwave. I rang my neighbour, Trevor Nelson. Do you have a microwave? I've got a spare one.
Of course
it's still working. And you know what happens? When you press start, it plays Warren G's Regulate. Because it's Trevor Nelson.
What he's not telling everyone is he didn't just borrow a microwave, he borrowed furniture. Came back for chairs.
I came back for chairs, yeah.
Yeah.
Gave the chair back. But, you know.
Trevor, you are in my house the sound of a party, because your soul collections and your R&B collections
that
go on, and my wife gets in the mood. Everybody's in the mood. That is your thing, isn't it? Getting a party going and keeping it going.
It absolutely is. And if you were my neighbour, I'd still be living next door to you, because
thanks,
unfortunately, you have. I'm not going to say taste in music because some people don't like that music, but you have my kind of taste. And unfortunately.
What's Max's taste in music, Trevor?
Let me just sum this up. He did invite me to a party once around his flat.
Neighbourly. But that is also pressure. I've always thought, imagine if you lived next to Jamie Oliver or something and you invited him round for dinner. You know, that'd be difficult.
No, he didn't feel that way about it at all.
Just wanted
to invite me around for the crack.
Yeah.
And I said, well, knowing that his musical taste is a little bit more guitar driven, I went, well, what? It's a Rocky Horror Show theme.
No.
It was just a rock party. I refused to go. I went and chilled out in the little annex at the back of my flat. And there he was, resplendent on his rooftop with loads of mad friends waving away and screaming.
Trevor came out at midnight, waved.
Why are we in that flat?
Can we talk Chelsea, Trevor?
Please.
You're at Talksport to record something, but we can't talk. Yeah. It's a big secret. You're not taking Saturday or Sunday mornings.
I'm not leaving the BBC, but I'm not partisan. I listen a lot to this station.
I was asking about Jose Mourinho, right? As you're a big Chelsea fan, you were just saying you were very pleased when Chelsea beat Spurs and
very,
and
very happy. Still happy.
Frank did the double over Jose.
Still happy. Happy now, still happy.
Tottenham fans are, you know, a lot of them worried about the football that Spurs are playing under Jose. It's so long ago now that I just can't, in my mind, the football that you played under Mourinho when you had Duff and Robin and Drogba up front wasn't terrible football.
And we had him. Remember, there was part two of Mourinho. There wasn't just part one with the best team that we ever had. There was a part two when he managed to.
But you were more pragmatic with part two. But with part one, Jose hasn't always played like this in my mind. But I can't. You must remember better than I can.
I think, and a lot of people talk about Jose's defensive tactics, right? And you have to remember, when he came to Chelsea, he had a war chest. Mm. You know, yeah. I mean, and the competition was Man United. And you could actually go around and go, I want him, I fancy him. And the competition to buy those players, just a few teams could compete with you. So it was impossible. And the owner wanted a style of football as well.
But I also feel like he was proving himself then.
He was still hungry.
And I feel like now almost like a tribute act.
He walked into Frank Lampard's always said, Jose Mourinho changed my career.
Yeah.
He walked up to him and said, you're the best midfielder in the world. Which, you're gonna laugh at the time. Yeah. Frank Lampard, best field. He turned out to be one of the best midfielders in the world because Jose gave, and John Terry will tell you great stories about him. I knew for some of the players, you say, oh, Jose, he's amazing. When you get on his bad side, he's not. But I think what's going on at Spurs, I look at some of the post-match comments and I am like, if I was a player in that squad, honestly, what is he saying?
It's the difference, I think, between a Trevor Nelson party and a Max Rushton
party. I don't want to go into
two.
But I think that...
I'm not even going to try and compete, am I? Like?
I'm not going to be two-faced about this. When I heard he took the Tottenham job, I was really gutted.
Yeah.
because I thought he's going to get him in the top four. I really thought with your full squad fit, he'll get you in the top four. People won't enjoy it 100%, but he'll be effective. He will, because he'll sort your defensive problems out. The moment your strikers are gone, he looks a bit clueless to me.
It's a lot of money to be lumping up to Lucas Moura. I've been saying this all the time. I mean, on to Chelsea now. You obviously... Everyone loves Frank Lampard. Mm. And we'd
play that 18-year-old, by the way, up front. We'd try him.
Yeah. I think you would, even without the transfer ban. It worked well for Frank that he didn't have that. He had that ban to start with. It had a bit of a wobble, but that win at the weekend was really big for you, wasn't it?
It was huge. And I think he obviously knows about the rivalry more than anyone else. Mm. And he got everyone up for it. And honestly, I think Tottenham were lambs to the slaughter the way they played. I just don't think they, you know... our players were at it. They had to be. We've had a disastrous home record this season. I mean, I think I've only seen us win about two games at home this season because I haven't been able to go every game. But it's just been horrible. Our lack of nous is the word I'd use. And that's why I would have played Giroud a lot more, because he is...
He's a great player.
He's a great player, but I think... everyone's wondering, why hasn't Frank played him? But I don't think he can press from the front. Like the rest of the team. And I think that's my theory. Yeah.
Would you play Giroud or Abraham tonight?
I'd play Giroud to start, and I'd bring Giroud Tammy on. Because Tammy's a live wire. He's unbelievable. He's way surpassed what we thought he'd do.
Charlie thinks he's a flat track bully.
Well, there's a possibility of that. He's only young at this point.
At the moment, not a flat track bully. That's not what I said. I said he scored 11 goals, none of them against top six. And in Europe, he scored against the sort of second tier teams.
I'm not going to deny that.
And he's not scored. When did he last score? I know he's been injured, but when did he last score?
Yeah, he hasn't been as prolific of late.
Has he scored since Christmas?
I can't remember. You're really throwing it at me.
Okay,
now,
sorry, mate. Trevor.
Sorry,
I do
mate.
Apologize.
But I'd say this about Tammy. He's still exceeded expectations. Yeah. He's been our war horse. He's running himself into the ground for the club.
And do you, at the start of the season, I remember some Chelsea fans saying, "Hey, look, we'll just be happy with top half and see how it goes with the ban." Expectations change very quickly. Now, you're in pole position.
Can I say for the dearly departed Andy Jacobs?
He's still alive.
But he's not here.
Okay, yeah,
he's not here.
Right, he's not here. Right. But he said something at the start of the season, and he was absolutely nailed it. He said, at the start of the season, he said, "What do you think is going to happen this season?" He said, "It's going to be fun. We're going to let in lots of goals. We're going to score lots of goals, possibly. It's going to be a ride." And he summed it up.
He said,
"I tell you now, Chelsea fans and me, happiest I've been in ages going to a Chelsea game, because I didn't know what the outcome of every match is going to be."
And what a shame. The first bit of praise in 20 years for Andy Jacobs on this show. He's not here to hear it.
Well, he was spot on.
When's good for golf? Got my diary here, Trevor.
Let's keep talking football.
When's good for golf?
I haven't finished.
No. We've got a break.
I'm here for talk. I want to talk about...
Predict the score tonight, Trevor.
That's not nice.
You said.
Well, again, I'm happy we got out of the group stages. I think expectation was this. If we get to this point, great. It's a free hit. It's Bayern Munich. Come on.
Yeah.
If we get a draw tonight, I'll be amazed.
Do you want to collaborate on an album?
No.
No way.
All right.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
What are you making?
You and I, we've got different fan bases.
I'm just really happy you're still in a job, Max.
Thanks, mate.
I'm so happy you are. No, I am.
I know. It's amazing. Hey,
I'm surprised co-presenter as well.
I got that record deal. I think it's still going.
What are you talking about?
Do you want to tell him about the record deal?
Yeah, Max got an oboe record deal or something, isn't it? A clarinet record deal.
Singer-songwriter.
What's the next collection that's coming out?
No, I think compilation albums are dead now,
if you want the truth.
Yeah, no, I think they're dead. I think streaming has finally caught up with the old school market.
You're going to have to work for a living again.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I work very, very hard, thank you very much. But I've had a great run. With doing some comps and stuff. But I think music's changed so much, hasn't it? I mean, you only had to watch Brits the other night. You know what I'm saying. It's changed a lot. It's the DIY generation now. Record companies don't have the grip they once had on this business. No. And I think that, I think I have actually lived through the golden era.
But you still can pull out
the music.
An old record.
Yeah, there you go.
I've still got vinyl.
It still means something. The curators still have a say in the, and I think...
Hey, baby. That's my favourite one. You play Roger.
I think veteran DJs are having a great time.
Yeah.
Put it this way, if we live through the 90s, It's been good. It's been good. I'd hate to start my career now, to be honest. I'd have to be doing Instagram and all that stuff.
Yeah. I Instagram lived making a bolognese. I just put it on simmer for 2 hours. 45 views, did really well. Right. must come around another time. Trevor, lovely to see
you. How's your missus, by the way?
She's really well.
She's still with you?
She's still with me, yeah.
Why?
Oh, dear.
Married and everything.
She was lovely.
I know. Still is.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's a surprise for me
she,
and you.
She's a lovely woman.
I think we've got to go to the break, Max.
She directed a stalker to my house once, remember?
Can I tell you about this?
Have you not heard?
Continue off air.
That's the classic.
You're listening to Hawksby and Jacobs.
The doorbell rings.
With Charlie Baker and Max Rushton.
Charlie, the doorbell rings.
We'll see you after this.
The doorbell rings and goes, is Trevor here? And they go, oh no, he's next door. Number two.
Oh, great.
Stalk around Trevor's house. Sorry about that, Trev.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
All right. You are
now, Max, I've had a direct complaint.
All right. I'm excited.
And also some suggestions on how to improve
the show.
Our show. Yeah.
Okay, great.
It's from my daughter.
Okay.
My daughter.
How old is your daughter?
She's four.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay, what's her name?
I won't say that one.
Okay, fine. Right, don't have to.
There's some weirdos out there.
Yeah, but,
she listened to the show yesterday.
It's called Miss Baker.
Yeah.
Okay.
She listened to the show yesterday.
Hello, Miss Baker.
And she said, what were you talking about? And I said, we were talking about football mainly. She said, why is it always just football?
Okay.
I said, all right, what should we be talking about? And these were her suggestions
of what
we should be talking about.
Right, fine.
A kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah. Teddies.
Yeah, okay.
Yellow.
Yeah.
And books.
Right.
They were her suggestions of what to talk about. I don't know.
What's the last book you read?
The Ian Rush autobiography. Genuinely.
That really is?
Yes. I love Ian Rush.
Oh, wow, he's a great footballer.
I think he's an amazing footballer.
Played up front with him once in a charity game.
No, actually, I've lied to you. It wasn't that. It was the Cole Porter letters, which I got for Christmas.
All right. Are they good?
They are, yeah. Very
lot of letters or not many?
A lot of letters and how he came up with all the songs and how he wrote all the songs and how his career took off. Very interesting. Okay. Bit different to the Ian Rush autobiography, but not that different.
No, you know, both had pages and words.
You know, Ian Rush's Broadway musical is yet to be produced.
Oh, Rushy the musical.
But then Cole Porter was rubbish up front for Liverpool in the '80s.
It's true, isn't it? You can't have everything.
So we've all got different skills. Is basically what I'm saying.
Okay, well, look, we can definitely tailor the show. She's not necessarily the demographic.
She's not
in
quite
the, in the meetings the bosses have. We're not aiming for the 4-year-old girl audience.
No,
but why not?
Teddies. Do you ever have a teddy, Max?
No, I had a seal I sewed in Wednesday Club. Yeah,
sewed yellow yourself?
Yellow, I did sew it myself.
Sounds like a tongue twister. I sewed a seal myself.
I sewed it myself, yeah, I did. I was, and I made a koala bear as well.
Did you? And what were they called? Did you give them names?
No, can't remember.
Oh, I don't believe you, Max.
No, genuinely can't remember.
You know what they were called? You just, no. Kenny?
No.
Kenny the koala?
I think it's probably Sam the seal.
The seal.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Now, from the newspapers... do you want the question question of the day from the Daily Star?
Why not?
From Pete the Blade.
Lovely.
He asks, this is the waste of ink moment that Andy Jacobs would suggest. Pete the Blade took the time out of his day to text the Daily Star to say, which would you rather be, a bee or a wasp?
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? Always a bee, of course.
Bee every time, isn't it?
A bee because you are creating something, you're making something. And if you're a wasp, what are wasps for? Did we ever establish that?
I think they're important. Why we have wasps? I think if they die out, I think humans die out.
I think that's bees, though, isn't it?
No, it's all connected.
Need wasps as well.
Yeah, we do need wasps. Yeah.
How often have you been stung by a wasp in your life, Max?
How often? Twice a week. I'm going to say 4 times.
You reckon?
I reckon 4. You
okay, ever stood on a wasp? That's
never stood on a wasp. I'm not a violent maniac.
All right, okay. No, not. But I mean, by accident,
no.
Not on purpose.
No, don't think so.
Okay, great chat.
End of the nose.
Great chat. Great chat. End of the nose.
You asked the question.
I know. End of the nose.
Yeah, I had one once.
That's a nice one.
That was a painful one. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, in the mouth. Yeah, in the mouth. Running.
Oh, you've been stung in the mouth.
Yeah, stung in the mouth. In your mouth. Little sting. Out it flies again.
Didn't even swallow it.
Disaster.
Do you want the Daily Star fact of the day?
Always.
It's quite interesting, this.
Okay.
What hat did Tommy Cooper wear?
Oh, now, there's an obvious answer, isn't there?
Yeah, there
and
is.
It's not.
It's not. It's a QI
not, it's not a fez.
That's
it's
a
obviously
wow,
not
wow,
a fez.
Yeah, no. It was a tarbouche.
Ooh, very go. Nice. What's your favourite Tommy Cooper joke, Max?
I don't know any.
Do you not know any?
No.
Do you want any? Do you want me to do any or not?
No.
You don't want me to do any Tommy Cooper jokes? Okay. Not too worried. Not to worry.
Come on then, what's your best wrong?
You've said no now, it's fine.
Fine.
I went to the doctor's. He said, I've not seen you in a while. I said, no, I've not been well. The kids take the biscuit. A biscuit factory is being targeted by sweet-toothed children.
Oh, yes, I saw this.
They're breaking in.
To get Jammy Dodgers, aren't they?
To get Jammy Dodgers, wagon wheels, not as big as they used to be.
No.
Maryland cookies, and that's a factory in Blackpool. They're breaking in three or four times a week.
Yeah, don't steal
to
biscuits.
Steal the biscuits.
Should
don't
be
do
stealing
that.
Their five a day, shouldn't they? Really, if you want to be healthy, the two kids want to be steal fruit and veg.
Kids, if you're going to steal, steal from the market.
On the subject of stealing and bringing it back to sport and fitness, a gym in Acton Park in West London is tagging towels after members stole enough towels to stretch from Acton to Brighton.
That's a long towel, isn't it? They are nice towels at a gym, aren't they? They're kept fluffy.
Not on my one.
No?
They're scraggly as anything.
Are they?
Don't trust them. Put in the towel drop, put them back out fresh.
How
again.
Old, Max, is the oldest towel in your cupboard?
Oh, do you think? This is the best question you have asked in the... I don't know how many shows we've done together. Must be pushing.
We've got there.
Now.
We've finally got there.
The oldest towel...
It's in your cupboard.
Do you know the other question?
I reckon we've got one. I've been married... 18 years this year.
Okay.
And I reckon, and we lived together 2 years before that. I reckon we've got a 20 to 22 year old towel in our cupboard.
Wow, that's good. I don't think I can beat that. I don't think I've got any. The youngest towel I've got is about four.
Oh, right.
And I think the oldest one is about 12. Oh. I'd say. The other good question, and you won't know off the top of your head.
Okay.
These are the two good questions.
Is it about the oldest towel in my cupboard?
No, it's not as good as that. But it is. I've done this before. I don't think anyone will do it in the next 20 minutes, but maybe you will. One person can do it in 20 minutes. Is how many plastic bags have you got in that cupboard?
Oh, yes. Very nice.
Someone will have. I mean, because they're all in one plastic bag. Put them all in one plastic bag. They're in that. It's normally under the sink. Could one person who is just pottering around the house go to that cupboard, count them all, and then wonder what you're doing with your life to count all the bags?
Well, I'm more interested in how many bags for life people have got, because I know I, for one, buy a new one nearly every time I go to the supermarket.
Okay, I'm not so picky. I'd like to know all. I'd like to know every
all
single
plastic bag based. Material.
Just in that cupboard, how many have you got? This is the world's biggest sports radio station. You would be surprised to know that.
Award-winning.
Award-winning. As we said earlier, lucky we won the award.
Charlie Baker and Max Rushton into the moving into the ninth hour of broadcasting this afternoon.
It was when Ainsley Harriet came in, who knew?
It slowed down time, didn't it?
It's what he did.
It's like Doctor Who turned up and...
This is it. When they write 50 years of talk sport, they go, and the moment that it all went south was when Ainsley Harriet
peaked last night at the Journalist Awards.
It's good to pick up the award then, isn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
This is from Jock. We're talking about mascots. Hi, Max and Charlie. My name's Jock the Jumbo Mascot for Heart of Midlothian. Thank you for questioning my hygiene. I was saying, how do they wash? You know, they must stink.
Don't know how
those
they wash,
things.
Yeah.
He says, we have a fantastic kit man who washes my fur and gives me a full Indian head massage and a brush before every home game.
Oh, right. Okay.
I may be a 6-foot dog, but I smell bloody lovely, he says. Oh. Thank you, Jock. Right. Andy Smart has been playing now for just under 2 hours in the game in the Peak District. It is the Shrovetide football game in Ashbourne. It was 0-0 when we last went to you, Andy. What's the latest score?
Still 0-0. But a lot of excitement here. It's just gone down into... what happened was we went across to the fire station, we went through the Fish Ponds car park, it then came up, they took it up Magic's Corner, and then along Cockayne Avenue, and we're now into the playing fields, down towards the river again. Looks like it's headed towards the river. There's been a couple of bad injuries, mainly to the crowd, I'll say that, but the ball got away and a few people got trampled. But it's everyone's in good spirits.
Are they okay?
Andy, you sound, let's just say, a little less fresh than when we first spoke to you today.
No,
has anything been imbibed during today's match?
No.
No.
Oh. I might have had a livener, obviously.
Obviously, but, yeah.
Who's playing? You know,
I've had a really nice pint of Shaman, actually. Oh, very nice.
Oh, he's good.
Beers are available.
Who's playing well? Blue T-shirt man still doing the business?
Oh, yeah, blue T-shirt
There's a young kid with a Rooney shirt
that
on.
Young kid.
A number 9 Rooney shirt, and he's played out of his skin. He's been in it all day. For the 2 hours, he's been playing solidly. And we're now by the tennis courts, just coming down towards the river. It's mainly uppers as usual on the Tuesday. The downers tend to do better on the Wednesday, but at the moment it's sort of a big ruck right in the middle of the playing fields by the cricket pitch.
Do you stop overnight, or do you just carry on playing all the way through?
I'll stay until the goal is scored or until the police confiscate the ball.
Right, okay. And when you'll still be playing tomorrow. We can catch up with you tomorrow.
Leave early, miss the traffic?
Oh, no, I'll leave early. I don't want to get involved in the wind. I've got the comedy store on there.
I've
got to get back for that.
You're a plastic player. You're not there for the duration.
We can see you sneaking out.
All right, listen, Andy, we've got to leave it there because otherwise we'll encroach into drive's time.
Just say, if anyone wants to watch what's going on, then go on Twitter and follow at Shrove Tide Live, and you can actually follow
a live stream.
Shrove Tide Live.
That is brilliant. We will do that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. From TalkSport.
That was it. Hope you had a nice time.
Yeah, lovely.
We'll be back tomorrow, counting more plastic bags.
That's how it is. See you then.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.